The description here is old-fashioned. It's a meditation on dancing at Christmas time, and the writer sets the stage with verses at a festive gathering. Again, the ballroom is wide open thrown, the oak beams festooned with garlands gay, the red dais where the fiddlers sit alone, where, flushed with pride, the good old tunes they play. Strike, fiddlers, strike, we're ready for the set. The young folks' feet are eager for the dance. We'll trip Sir Roger's dance and the minuet and revel in the latest games from France. Ah, yes, man should be called a dancing animal, said the observer, old Florentine. And Robert Burton, in his Anatomy of Melancholy, says, young lasses are never better pleased than when upon a holiday, after evensong, they may meet their sweethearts and dance. And dancing is just as popular at Christmas in the present day as it was in that medieval age when the priest Rathbertus, being disturbed at his Christmas Mass by young men and women dancing outside the church, prayed God and St. Magnus that they might continue to dance for a whole year without cessation, a prayer which the old chronicler William of Malmesbury assures us that that was answered. That vintage essay, From Christmas, Its Origin and Associations, by William Francis Dawson, 1903. In this telling, the dancers were punished with a year of perpetual dancing, but in fact, in this tune, Tomorrow Shall Be My Dancing Day, John Rutter explains, the age-old relationship between the sacred and the dance is the source of the unusual and vivid imagery of this carol, which, in its complete form, has 11 verses covering the events of Christ's life. That from Rutter's notes to the Christmas Night recording, we're hearing the Baltimore Consort. The esteemed early music ensemble, the Baltimore Consort, has assembled a series of old carols and dance tunes for a holiday program titled The Cherry Tree that they will present on Saturday, December 2nd at Trinity Episcopal Church in Bethlehem. Larry Lipkus is professor of music and composer in residence at Moravian and a longtime member of the Baltimore Consort, and we had a chance to speak with him by phone about the ensemble and its music.
The group was founded in 1980, which is another era altogether, it seems. But I joined the group in 1984, so I'm still considered a rookie going through the hazing period. But I've been in the group for quite a while. And the group originally was put together to play the music from Shakespeare's era, a specific repertory called broken consort or English consort music, with a specific instrumentation of lute, citern, and bandora, which are wire-strung instruments, flute, and viola da gamba, treble, and bass. So it was a very specific instrumentation that Shakespeare's contemporaries wrote for. And then from that time, we branched out into other repertories like Scottish music, French music. We've added other instruments. But many members of the group are still in the group. The original members are still playing, which is quite amazing since we're in the year 2017 now. So we've been at it for nearly 40 years. And we just really enjoy each other's company. We're very, very good friends. So I think we've lasted longer than most marriages at this point. But we do concertize around the country and often internationally. I will say the group absolutely loves to come to Bethlehem, especially Christmas time. They so look forward to it because they can do all their Christmas shopping, and they just love the town and they love the audiences. So they are always thrilled to be able to come. What we sometimes do, if we can, is tie it into a concert at the Cloisters in New York, part of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. So we actually, our concert in Bethlehem is on the 2nd of December, and then we go to New York to do two concerts at the Cloisters on December 3rd.
Is this connected with a new recording?
Yes, we are going to have a preview of the recording available for our audiences in Bethlehem. We're still in the process of designing it and just tweaking it a little bit, but we know our listeners and our audiences are really anxious to get our new recording because our last Christmas CD was made in the 90s, and we we've been developing many, many new pieces. We perform our Christmas program now that has, I don't think, anything remaining from that first Christmas CD. So we made a recording some years ago, and we've been editing it and tweaking it. So people who come to our concert in Bethlehem will be able to get a copy of it, not in its final version, but a real CD with all the tunes in the program. We call it our preview edition, and then the real CD will come out some months later. But anyone who comes can get it for a discount, the program that you'll hear on the second.
Larry, does it make a difference, for example, you're playing in Bethlehem, historic Bethlehem, with its ties to early America and music in that sense, and then you're going to the cloisters, which is a different space and filled with different kinds of art. Does that make a difference, even if you're sharing the same kinds of music?
Well, yes, it's a very good question. We actually changed our program a little bit for the cloisters because that is mostly a museum of medieval art and early Renaissance. So our program there is tailored more for that era. Our program at Bethlehem has a lot of the same pieces, but we expand it to more contemporary music that we wouldn't do at the cloisters. So the program we're doing in Bethlehem is a little more varied and also a little bit longer and contains pieces that, you know, were written in America or collected in America. So it's a much more diverse program.
You all have been together so long, I would imagine that certain things don't even need to be talked about, but then there are other things you must have to work through as you're preparing a new piece or bringing another piece into the mix.
It's surprising because there are a lot of things we fall into certain routines because we do know each other so well, but we are very, very careful not to get complacent, and we try out new things, we tweak arrangements. We say, well, do we really need this here, or should we add this? Is this really the right flute to play, or should I play another flute? You know, we're always trying to perfect it and make it even better and better every year. So it's a mixture of familiarity, but also trying to do new things all the time.
And that's the ideal, and that keeps you all interested and fresh and
growing. Well, it does. Yes, absolutely. We can't just, we've never been a group that just shows up and goes onto the stage. I mean, we practice and rehearse constantly when we're on the road. We're not unique. Obviously, a lot of groups do this. You have to keep up a certain level, and that's when we might try out a few things when we're just late night rehearsal. We say, let's try something else a little different here. So it keeps everything fresh, and we enjoy that.
And are you collecting when you're not together on the road, for example, and you're back home teaching and leading your own ensembles at Moravian? You always have your eyes open and ears open.
Absolutely, yes, because I do pieces with my own groups at Moravian that we don't do in the Baltimore Consort, and I'm always thinking, this would be a nice piece to do. That's how the last piece in our Shakespeare program came to be. I did it at Moravian. I thought, this would be great with the Baltimore Consort. But it works the other way, too. We'll do a piece with a consort, and I'll say, I've got to bring this, I've got to share this with my students. We'll have a really good time with this piece. So it works both ways, both the college ensembles and Baltimore Consort sort of have a way of, it's a symbiotic relationship, let's put it that way. We work together well.
And the program is titled The Cherry Tree, and there is the Cherry Tree Carol that people may know.
Mm-hmm.
What does
right.
taking that as the title suggest we're about to experience?
Well, we are going to experience a program that has music from, actually the subtitle is Old Carols and Dance Tunes from the British Isles, France, Spain, Germany, and Appalachia. So it tells everyone that it's a very inclusive program because the cherry tree comes from originally England. The words come from England, but then this version was collected in Kentucky in 1917. So it's a kind of Appalachian take on the English story, which in turn was actually a biblical story from Pseudo-Matthew, which is a lovely story. I mean, the carol's pretty familiar. A lot of people have recorded it. Joan Baez, Sting, among others. It's a lovely story that just talks about when Mary and Joseph were walking, and this was the time when Mary was pregnant and Joseph was not happy about the fact that she was pregnant and didn't really know what had happened, so he's a little bit irritable, I guess you could say. And Mary asks Joseph to pick a cherry. Originally in the Pseudo-Matthew version, it's a date palm. But in the English version, it's a cherry. He says, could you gather me some cherries, for I'm with child? And Joseph says, in words so unkind, as the song says, let him gather thee cherries who brought thee with child. So, you know, I'm not going to get cherries for you. So at that point, Jesus speaks to the tree from the womb and says, bow down, cherry tree, so my mother can have some. So it's a very charming story. Pseudo-Matthew is full of these stories of the infant Jesus and even the Jesus in the womb. So this is one of those stories, and then the end is very reflective of following that tale. It's a lovely tune, lovely sentiment, a very, very tender moment in the concert.
The image of the tree gives us a sense of the wide range, and yet the web that you've just suggested, that there are connections all over.
Yeah, it's a kind of a good microcosm, I guess, for the concert as a whole, because it's varied in where it comes from, very old traditions, more modern tradition, and then a 20th century version of it, too. We begin with The Lord of the Dance, which is to a tune just about everybody knows, Simple Gifts, the shaker tune that Copland used so famously in Appalachian Spring. The words, though, are relatively modern. They're by Sidney Carter, who was a writer of religious texts in the 20th century. And it's about the Lord of the Dance. To me, it reminds me of the Christmas carol, Tomorrow Shall Be My Dancing Day, which is pretty well known, about sort of the ecstatic dancing related to praise of Jesus. And the Shakers did do that kind of ecstatic dancing. So it's a very nice way to begin the program, I think, because it's a tune everyone knows, and the story basically tells the story of Jesus' life, not just Christmas, but beginning with his birth and finally through the crucifixion and the resurrection. So it's kind of a nice summary of the life of Jesus. We go from there to a fun little set on Christmas Night, which is a tune collected by Rayfon Williams, so that's a early 20th century source. Masters in This Hall is from the play for Dancing Master from the 17th century, but it was also used in an opera. The dance tune is called La Matelote, which, as far as I can tell, means the little sailor girl. That's the original tune, but it's actually a Christmas carol set to this French tune. And then that's followed by a really fun tune called Christmas Day. It looks like a typo. It looks like it should be Christmas Day, but it's Christmas Day. And this is a traditional tune from England, from Lancashire. And this is about farm animals celebrating Christmas. And it kind of ties into the idea of the manger scene, I suppose. But the words are very simple, kind of childlike. There was a pig went out to dig on Christmas Day. There was a cow that went to plow. There was a sparrow that went to harrow. So all these animals on a farm did something on Christmas Day, and everything rhymes. Sheep went out to reap. Crow went out to sow. So if you want to come up with your own animals doing something on Christmas, you can. There was a dog who went, I don't know, help me out here, Erica.
Wrote his blog.
Wrote a blog, perfect. There was a dog that wrote his blog on Christmas Day. I like it. Maybe we'll include that one. So that's great. So then we move to another fairly familiar tune, Gaudete, and Tempus Adest Floridem, which we know as Good King Wenceslas. This comes from a collection called Pies Canciones, or Sacred Songs, from the 16th century, and it was found in Finland, of all places. But this is a great source for a lot of the tunes we know today. Who knew that Good King Wenceslas, the original text, was not about Christmas at all, but it was about springtime? But someone evidently liked the tune and put the words Good King Wenceslas to it, so that's how we know it today. So we're doing that one instrumentally. Then we do the Cherry Tree Carol. And then Ron McFarland is doing one of his solo pieces. He's not only a fine lutenist, but a composer as well. And so he wrote a little piece for lute called Early Christmas Morning, which is really charming. We then have an English country dance tune called Sellinger's Round, which has been set to the carol, Upon My Lap the Sovereign Sits. So that has a Christmas orientation. And we end that set with a tune from the Southern Harmony Collection, American Spiritual Songs, Wondrous Love, which has made it into many, many hymnals. Such a gorgeous tune. And we end the first half with a set of Spanish pieces, Spanish Christmas tunes, and these are from the 16th century. They are from a collection called Villancicos de Diversos Autores. Villancicos are rustic Christmas songs of diverse authors. And the last one is a very familiar one to many people, Rio Rio Chu, which is performed a lot by choirs. It's done by even high school choirs because it's very simple and engaging, and you can hear it going shopping. It appears on Muzak recordings as you're at the shopping mall, so it's a very familiar tune to everyone. That's our first half, and then we we start the second half with Greensleeves, but an interesting version of Greensleeves is called Greensleeves to a Ground, meaning a repeated chord progression. So this is basically written out variations on the familiar Greensleeves tune. It's a good way to hear all the instruments. The flute has the melody sometimes, then the lute, then the viola da gamba, then we kind of pair it off into duets. So it's a nice way to show off the instruments. Then we have a set of wassails. Wassails were just songs of carolers who would go door to door drinking wassail, which is a spiked punch. And so these are all from English traditional tunes from Gloucestershire or Gower in three different wassail tunes. Then we go to Germany, In Dulce Jubilo and In Dir ist Freude, In You There is Joy. That was a lovely Christmas. It's a tune that had legs everywhere in Europe. There are English versions, there are French versions, there are Italian versions. This is the version that came to Bach, In Dir ist Freude, and so he set it as an organ prelude. We're doing an instrumental version of that. Then we go back to England and do a dancing masterpiece again called Peace Be With You. The Fairy Round and Sweet Was the Song the Virgin Sung, all English pieces. And we end the program with a lovely French set, Il est né, Le Divin Enfant, Quel est cet odeur agréable, and Noël Nouvelet. And these, again, are all songs that are still with us today. They're in international Christmas songbooks, and that's the end of our program.
What a lovely journey. And isn't it fascinating about the dance thread and that wonderful cross-pollination that you suggest in Dir ist Freude, that was all over the place, and yet this is a particular incarnation of it?
It is. It's so funny. These tunes appear in different ways, in different guises, in different countries. So In Dir ist Freude is known as Sing We Enchanted, as a madrigal by Thomas Morley, the same tune. In Italian, it's Innamorata. It's a dance. It's a galliard. And then it became a German Christmas carol, but it's exactly the same tune. So in a way, it does sum up our program, because many of these tunes have dance as their origin, and they had international appeal. So we do bring that international flavor into this concert.
And we often think of the Spanish carols. So many of them have percussion as part of them.
Yeah, we do. We do expect that. We do use a little percussion. But we kind of make percussion with our instruments, in a sense, because Mark Sudek strums the bass and slams the bass. We all sort of treat our instruments at times like percussion instruments, even if we're not using actual percussion instruments. But you're right. A lot of the pieces just have such an infectious feel about them. You want to bring out the percussive nature in them. Others, though, are very, very sweet and non-percussive at all, like the middle one, Señores, El Que Es Nacido. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece, and it's very quiet, contemplative, not percussive in any sense. But it's in the middle of two which are a little more percussive. So there's quite a bit of variety. The Spanish Christmas songs are just absolutely lovely. It's a lovely, wonderful repertory. Just one more other thing about the instruments. This is a program where we like to pull out all the stops and bring some of the instruments we don't necessarily play during the rest of the year or during our programs. Just to add a little more color, we bring in other instruments like the rebec, which is a medieval string instrument, which has a very sweet sound. And we have crumhorns, and we have gemshorns, which is a goat, horn of a goat that we use, very sweet, soft sound. We have bagpipes. We have a little harp. We've got all sorts of things in this concert. So there's quite a variety of sound, but it is all reflective of music essentially from, the Renaissance, from Shakespeare's time.
Taking a look at the art of these various periods and places, in terms of looking at the instruments and the way they were played and so forth, has that had an influence on all of you on some level?
Well, it does, because the prevalence of the lute, for example, you can't help but notice how often the lute appears in Renaissance art. Angels play the lute. The lute is just in so many paintings by Italians. Every nationality has the lute featured in Renaissance art. I was just in Spain over the summer in Seville in the cathedral and saw some beautiful paintings featuring the viola da gamba. What's interesting is the painters do a good job of portraying the instruments, but they don't always show a very good way of playing the instruments. So they have hands in impossible positions on the bow, and you wonder, how can anyone play like that? So the painters often are great with the actual image of the instrument and the player, but not actually the player playing the instrument. That's a kind of famous in iconography that they often don't get that quite right. Not all the time, but we do notice it more often than you might think.
Tell our listeners about the various instruments you'll be playing.
Okay, well, I'm playing the viola da gamba, which is a six-string instrument. I'm playing the bass size and sometimes the tenor size. That was an instrument that basically grew out of, it was developed in Spain around the year 1500, and it's kind of a mix of a Moorish instrument called a rebab, which is a bowed instrument, and a Spanish guitar called a vihuela. So they kind of combined those two instruments, and they got an instrument with six strings and frets like a guitar, but with a bow and a curved bridge so you could bow individual strings. So that's the viola da gamba, very, very popular in Spain, in England, Germany, and France. I'm also playing several sizes of recorders. I'm playing the gemshorn, which is, as I mentioned before, the horn of a wild goat. And I'm playing a crumhorn, and that's a curved instrument, which is a double reed instrument, a capped reed. So the reed looks a little bit like an oboe or bassoon reed, but it's protected by a cap. The player blows into the cap, so you get a kind of reedy, buzzy sound, which adds a lot of color. We try to have a few examples of the crumhorn in as many shows as we can, just because it's a kind of comic, different sound that we like to throw into the mix.
Where do you think we're going to hear it this time?
We're going to hear it when we do Tempus Adis Floridum, which is Good King Wenceslas. We do that instrumentally. We have the rebec playing with the lute, and then the crumhorns come in. And it's just a nice moment of interesting color there. The rebec is, as I mentioned before, a kind of medieval fiddle, so it has a kind of thin but sweet sound. Rebec is also a very good word to know if you do the New York Times crossword puzzle, because maybe every 2 months or so it's in there as the hint is medieval fiddle, and the answer is R-E-B-E-C, rebec. So now you crossword puzzle fans can file that one away and use it.
Thanks, Larry.
I've never seen crumhorn in the crossword puzzle. I'm still waiting. Maybe I'll call Will Shorts and ask him to put it in sometime.
Larry Lipkus, professor of music, composer in residence, and director of early music at Moravian College in Bethlehem, speaking with us about the ensemble, the Baltimore Consort. He is a longtime member of the consort, and they will present a Christmas concert titled The Cherry Tree, old carols and dance tunes from the British Isles, France, Spain, Germany, and Appalachia, Saturday, December 2nd at 5 in the afternoon at Trinity Episcopal Church, 44 East Market Street in Bethlehem. The event is sponsored by the Moravian College Conference in Medieval and Early Modern Studies and Trinity Episcopal Church of Bethlehem. For more information on the web, trinitybeth.org, trinitybeth.org. Tickets will be available at the door. You may also check the Baltimore Consort website for more information about the ensemble, baltcons.com, baltcons.com. It's The Cherry Tree, old carols and dance tunes from the British Isles, France, Spain, Germany, and Appalachia, featuring the Baltimore Consort, Saturday, December 2nd at 5 in the afternoon at Trinity Episcopal Church, 44 East Market Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Tickets available at the door. For more information on the web, trinitybeth.org, trinitybeth.org.